Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. For a very long time, I've been meaning to have a discussion about empires versus nations, because I see a lot of thinking that people have that is wrong. And there are a lot of people who think that we've reached the end of history, who think that we've reached a time when everything is fixed, and this is it, and this is how it will be forever, and it's never going to change. So you get people like the Germans, and the Germans probably think this is it. But you get it even more so probably with people like the Boers. The whites of South Africa who think this is the end, there is nothing further, what's going to happen? We are totally at the mercy of other people. There is another topic of small nations versus big nations. That's probably worthy of a different discussion. But the whites of South Africa fall into the small nations category. However, there are actually quite a lot of white nations that are small. And the white South Africans actually are not that tiny. There are even a handful of smaller white nations than the whites of South Africa. But the whites of South Africa are equal in number to the whites of New Zealand, to the whites of Croatia, almost close to where Bulgaria is now. Bulgaria used to have more people, but a lot of people fled after communism. They hated it so much. Probably in our lifetimes, the best thing that's happened in our lifetimes, and I speak of the older ones among us, is the merger of West Germany and East Germany. When I was young, West Germany and East Germany were two separate countries. West Germany was Western, East Germany was Russian and Soviet, and the merger of those two nations is probably the best thing that's happened since World War II. And it's really been a good thing. It's really helped the Germans to recover a lot more. Now that whites are involved in racial stuff and in trying to look at white survival, whites find themselves delving into politics. And then they look at politics and they say, oh God, we're so fucked. But the truth of the matter is that there are many trends that are busy, and no matter how powerful nations are, the fact is that people are changing all the time. Some things are real change, other things are apparent change. And another topic that's also worthy of a separate discussion is change, the fact that people change. But in the study of history, there are many things that one learns, and you begin to see what people do over longer periods of time. And all the lessons are already there. It's just that people don't know it and people don't look at it closely. And quite a lot of those lessons and trends work perfectly for whites. They work perfectly for us. We tend to be a long-term people who think in long-term ways, whereas Jews are often doing short-term garbage, especially in modern times. Sometimes Jews do long-term things, but there are many, many occasions where Jews just go and do real short-term crap. Liberalism is probably the dumbest idea ever conceived, and it's total garbage, but it's got a purpose for the Jews. It's got a very important survival purpose for the Jews. But what I want to focus on is empire versus nations, because in many respects, empires versus nations is the same thing as nationalism versus liberalism. Nationalism versus liberalism is the same thing as nations versus empires, where nationalism is nations and liberalism is empires. So people look at empires and they say, oh goodness, you're so fucked. So what I'm going to try and do, this is really not a comprehensive video. So what I'm going to try and do in this video is I just want to dash through a bunch of different points about nations versus empires, and then you'll see that there's lots and lots and lots of trends that can easily work for whites, that will work for whites. Just don't panic over liberalism. Don't panic over liberalism, don't panic over globalism, don't panic about Jewish power, don't panic about liberals and leftists. All of these people can be destroyed. They can be destroyed. Just keep your head and know which things are important and which things are not important. When you understand these trends, then you'll start to also grasp the situation that the white South Africans find themselves in, because we ourselves can actually pull ourselves out of this mess that we're in. But you got to understand empires versus nations. Rule number one about empires versus nations. Nations outlive empires. Nations outlive empires. So let's take the Boers, for example. 120 years ago, just over 120 years ago, the great British Empire invaded South Africa. And invaded South Africa, you even had Australians coming here, even a couple of Canadians, and they came here to shoot Boers 120 years ago. They came to kill the Boers for the Jewish Rothschilds in Britain. In fact, the Boer population at the time was about 1.5 million, I think it was. And the British Empire sent in 500,000 white troops, mostly white, 500,000 white troops to invade 1.5 million people. It could be, that this is the greatest ratio of troops to population of any invasion, maybe ever. We'd need to look to see what other examples there are. I would think that the Finnish Winter War of the Soviets invading Finland could be close, but I think the Boers might hold a record. They might just have a world record. In other words, the number of troops that it takes to come and crush you is that you need one soldier for every man, woman, and child. So in other words, you take 1.5 million people divided by 3, and that's the number of troops you need. So if you had to apply the same thing to, say, Hitler and the Germans, where they were like 70 million, it would mean that to invade Germany, you needed 23 million troops. In order to defeat Italy, Germany, and Japan, the Allies in total had almost 60 million troops. The Soviet Union had 35 million. The Americans had 16 million. And the British Empire had 8.5 million. So they needed almost 60 million troops in order to defeat Germany, Japan, and Italy. And 35 million of them were fighting Germany only. So of the 60 million, 35 million were the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union only fought Germany. In fact, the Soviet Union had at least 3 soldiers for every German. But in reality, right at the end, the real number was like 12 to 1 because of the losses the Germans had. But again, from a population perspective, if you assume that about 2 million or so Americans and British were in Germany, along with the 35 million Soviets that had come to take over all of Eastern Europe, if you had to work that out as a ratio and compare it to the Boer War, then the Germans did better than the Boers, but like I say, even the Boer ratio is very high. So for example, if you took the total civilian population of the Boers as 1.5 5 million, and you had to divide the number of troops that had to come to crush them, you'd get a ratio of 0.33. But if you looked at the Germans, you'd see that the ratio is 0.52. So you could almost say that the Germans have a ratio that's about 60% better than the Boers. But I would venture to say that you're going to struggle to find better examples than the Germans and the Boers. I looked at the Finns and the population of the Finns in 1939 when the Soviet Union invaded them. And the Finns, I think, might have the greatest record of modern times. The ratio for the Finns was 0.54. The Soviet Union needed 2 million troops. 2 million troops had to go into Finland to crush 3.7 million Finns. So that is probably the highest ratio of all. We would have to see in ancient times or in prior centuries whether there are other examples, but these are modern examples. So the Finns hold the world record of modern times, unless somebody can find other particular wars that could be of interest. So the first difference between empires and nations is that nations always outlive empires. Always. An empire can rise and fall, but a nation that existed before the empire will outlast the empire. So if we look again at the Boers, 120 years ago, the British Empire invaded South Africa. Where's the British Empire today? Today it's disappeared. It's a economic and diplomatic thing known as the Commonwealth, and the British don't have the same kind of power over the Commonwealth that they had over the Empire. The British controlled the Empire, they made the policies, they made the rules, they issued the orders. They can't do that today. The best they can do is diplomacy. So could the British today invade the Boers again and achieve the same results again? Maybe only if they used nuclear weapons, possibly. Maybe they would need nuclear weapons. Otherwise, it would be a whole different thing. But the Boers are still around. They're still around. They're still in the same territory. And they're here. But the British don't have the kind of power that they had 120 years ago. Another difference that you need to keep in mind in wars in general, and this applies to all whites everywhere, is that you always have a home ground advantage. You always have a home ground advantage. When you fight on your own territory in defense of your own home, your houses, where you live, you always put up a much stiffer fight. Always. So that's just something else to keep in mind when you are dealing with power, when you're dealing with power and being invaded by bigger countries. This home ground advantage is true right throughout history. Right throughout history. You can go and look at it anywhere, everywhere. The best fight that anybody will ever put up is for their home. It's for their home, their town, their city, their nation, their family. They will always put up the most intensive fight for their home. This is a fact of history, and people who don't put up a good fight for their home, they'll be even more useless when they try to go and invade somebody else. Now, another thing about an empire. The empire is normally a bigger thing than a nation, but like I've said, it lasts, the nation lasts longer, and the nation will fight much harder in defense of itself. An empire is a different structure. It tends to be bigger than a nation, But the problem of an empire is cohesion. The problem of an empire is cohesion. An empire is normally composed of people that are not as closely bound together as a nation. And this makes a difference. It might not be so apparent during peacetime, but during wartime and times of strife, it becomes a big issue. So what you will find is you'll find that every empire is actually a nation that starts conquering others and bringing others into this nation. But you'll find that at the heart of every empire is a nation. And that nation conquers others, brings them together, and often even rules them and controls them, or controls them with disproportionate power. Hitler, for example, pointed out that the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which is where he was born in, so what Hitler pointed out was that 10% of the Austrian Empire was actually composed of real Austrians, who were actually also Germans. So you have this, quote, Austrian Empire, but 90% of the people in it aren't Austrians. They are others. They are Hungarians, there are Jews, there's all kinds of others. But at the heart of it, this 10% has got so much power and influence over the rest of it that in that case, that small group, their characteristics dominate that whole empire. So you think of it as the Austrians, but the Austrians are actually a minority. You will find that all empires have at their heart a nation, and that nation also has the military force and the clout to conquer the others. And then there are different kinds of arrangements that people have. People enter into different kinds of arrangements, and some of those arrangements are quite nice, and this setup then lasts longer. But if the arrangement isn't so good, then somebody may decide to break away. Now, if you look at South Africa, for example, South Africa is a type of an empire, and America is becoming an empire, Canada wants to become an empire, Australia wants to become an empire. Now diversity is the new empire, but you've got to be careful of these things, because an empire doesn't have the cohesion of a nation. Like I say, in wartime, when it comes to times of hardship and times of strife, cohesion is critical. If the cohesion is low, you can have a civil war, you can have nations splitting apart, etc. So the more you have an empire, the worse the cohesion becomes. It is a simple rule of history that the more people you pile into an empire, the more the cohesion goes down. And the more unrelenting you are with respect to just opening the doors, the more you will find that your cohesion goes to hell. So current liberalism and current diversity is, in historical terms, total insanity. It's insanity times 1,000. At the end of the day, all countries exist based on only one thing. Can they defend themselves? Can they fight for themselves? At the heart of every nation is the ability to fight. If you can defend yourself, then you get to keep your territory. So when you have a nation with piles and piles and piles of people, the only question that is important is who is willing to fight in defense of that nation. Because it doesn't help to have a bunch of faggots and transgenders and all kinds of weirdos who won't pick up a gun. and aren't willing to actually go and fight for something. So it doesn't matter how many people there are. At the end of the day, all nations at some point will face military threats. And it is the number of people who are willing to fight for that nation that will determine how strong that nation or empire is. And when it comes to empires, you'll find that the core people in the nation are the ones that really matter the most. You'll find all kinds of garbage, with Jews being at the top of the list, all kinds of garbage who won't fight. They'll just take their money and run. But it is the people who will actually stand and fight for it. So when you look at an empire, your biggest problem in an empire is cohesion. And a standard rule of thumb is that morale in an empire, motivation in an empire, is lower than in a nation. The intensity of cohesion is much stronger in a nation. Another thing that you've got to understand is that the modern nation state is very much a Western world white invention. The nation state is an evolution that came from nomadic tribes or semi-nomadic tribes of whites who moved around, fought, settled, moved again, etc. And eventually, out of conflict and settlement, eventually borders were established after many wars and things sort of settled down. It was a long, complicated process that brought people together and demarcated them and got them into a situation where they start forming a more cohesive body. One must never underestimate Europe. I will return to the topic of Europe again, but European evolution is a very important form of evolution, and I regard Europe as the highest evolved set of states and people in the world. The lessons of Europe need to be looked at very carefully because Europe actually is living proof that diversity in even the slightest way makes no sense at all. In fact, Europe should be regarded as proof that not only is apartheid valid, but that given time you move towards super apartheid. Europe is proof of super apartheid. It is the proof that even whites start splitting into groups. If there's one place where no form of diversity has any meaning at all, or should even be thought of, it is Europe. Everything about Europe proves that diversity, even in the slightest, is garbage. You need to look at Europe as being different from North America, whites in Southern Africa, Australia, etc. The whites who came out of Europe were themselves little groups that then started forming forms of cohesion and mixture. And in South Africa, we've got like a 60-40% or 65-35% ratio of Afrikaans, which would be, let's call it European continental people, versus British Europeans. In America, you've got a lovely mix from all over Europe, especially Western and Northern Europe. There's large numbers of good quality DNA that ended up in America. And so you've got a new kind of mixture of whites there. But you must never forget the Europeans. The Europeans are a very special lesson, and I regard Europe as superior to everybody else. Europe may be composed of smaller nations, but they are very advanced and they're very tough. Their biggest problem is imaginary differences. But that is because they operate on a different level. Europe is the future. Europe is the sign of where you go. But you also get another trend where as people come in groups and they merge together and you keep mixing them in that group and they stay longer together in that group, that you build up their cohesion by mixing them. I'm talking now about whites. The Germans are a perfect example. Germans are a type of white who are very independent, and Germans themselves are so independent that they would not even merge among themselves. So for hundreds of years, you had lots and lots of tiny little German states all across Europe, and they wouldn't even merge with each other because they were so busy fighting and struggling with each other. However, eventually they were united by the Prussians, and the Prussians are the core of Germany. So the Prussians came, grabbed the other Germans, conquered them, beat them into shape, and started bringing them together. But even as they were being brought together, they still had differences. And the Germans may have advanced to the next level as a direct result of World War I and World War II, where some of those differences, like Bavarians versus others, where those differences are merged more together. It takes time and people get beaten into sort of unity. There are lots of processes that carry on that take a lot of time. They take hundreds of years. And people need to go through all kinds of things. So you must look at the, let's call it the white colonizers. The white colonizers from out of Europe. The ones who went to North America, South America, Africa, Australia. We are the colonial whites. And we don't have the history and the bonding of the whites of Europe. So we are, let's call it, younger groups of whites. And we have got a lot more stuff to go through as we build up our cohesion, etc. In fact, Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, who was the greatest Prime Minister of South Africa, Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd himself, who was probably a follower of Oswald Spengler, Verwoerd said that the whites of South Africa have only lived through one quarter of their lifetime as a nation. They've only lived through one quarter of their lifetime as a nation. So we're still youngsters, we're still kids, okay? And in that sense, Europeans are much older, more experienced than Americans. So Americans are doing crazy lunatic shit now. They started out good, but now all kinds of garbage, mostly Jews, have come in and totally stuffed up the original plans of the founding fathers of America, who were much more sane and they had their ideas. Another thing as well is don't be fooled by the term empire. There are different variations in the theme of empire. Nation states are quite similar these days. They are very similar. They're not identical, but they're very similar. However, empires have even greater variation. You cannot compare the British Empire with the Roman Empire. You cannot compare the British Empire with Hitler's Third Reich, because Hitler was busy creating an empire. But his empire was built on the Roman model. You cannot compare the British Empire with the Third Reich. You cannot compare the British Empire with the Romans. The Romans, the Germans, especially under Hitler, the Romans and the Germans have got empires that are much more nationalistic. and racialistic. And that solves lots of the cohesion problems. The British Empire was enormous in terms of space, but the British Empire's cohesion was completely crazy. It had all kinds of races in all kinds of places, and the British were managing them. The main tool that caused the British to be able to control this empire was the Royal Navy. So you had the nation, Britain, as the militaristic nation that dominates everybody else. Its tool of domination is the Royal Navy. And how it makes its money is through Jewish trade. So basically, you have the British conquering others so that Jews, I think it was George Orwell, he said the British Empire was composed of Scots and Jews. So the British go and they kill other people so that the Jews and the Scots can make money. The British Empire was therefore a globalist trading kind of thing. That is very different to the Roman Empire, and it's very different to Adolf Hitler's empire. Hitler's empire would easily have lasted 1,000 or several thousand years, easily. The Roman Empire is an amazing empire that deserves special study, and I will discuss it in detail. Because the Roman Empire is not an obvious thing to understand why the Roman Empire worked. There's a lot that you need to understand, and then you'll understand what it was that made the Romans so amazing, and why to this day so much is based on the Romans, and what it is about the Romans that is unique compared to everybody else. Because Hitler, Napoleon, and others, including the founding fathers of America, knew the Roman Empire very well, and they had a very high regard for it. And you get other empires, for example, like the Ottoman Empire, which was a Muslim slash Arab and even Jewish empire, where Jews are merged with Muslims, and it's a Muslim, Arab, racial, religious empire. And the Ottoman Empire was the great thing of the Middle East, and it was a superpower. It was a superpower even 300 years ago. It was a superpower. And it was invading Europe 300 years ago. And 500 years ago, the Ottoman Empire controlled the Mediterranean Sea. Whites were at a disadvantage in their own backyard. But the Ottoman Empire itself started collapsing. And it went through a series of processes, and the people who really killed it were the British. And the British were very clever in the way that they killed it. They took it and they cut it into pieces, and they divided everybody and gave everybody their nation, and that has been a very successful way to destroy the cohesion that existed there. And when you look at the Muslims and the Arabs, you'll see that they are fumbling and bumbling around as they are trying continuously to rebuild their cohesion. But the Jews and the Americans have done great work in destroying their cohesion and in stopping them from coming together, because they themselves could form a non-white empire again. And they themselves want to. They are struggling to get back to that. Their cohesion isn't as good as, let's say, Roman cohesion, but it's pretty good for a bunch of non-whites, and they are united by their religion, and they've got quite a lot of cultural similarities. So the Ottoman Empire is a thing that existed in relatively modern times, but it was a non-white empire. And make no mistake, there were Jews in there. There were Jews in there. But in modern times, it was quite a potent thing that existed, that thing. So I'm going to end on this note, where I'm going to explain to you how I view politics and the future and what will work and what history shows us will work. First and foremost, you need nations of people who are similar and who have bonded together. The Boers have done the best job of bonding together of any whites who've come to Africa. The Boers are unique in many ways. There are many unique achievements of the Boers in South Africa. And the Boers are still a powerful force. Even though they feel broken and despondent, they're actually a powerful force. Now that America is trending into empire, it's actually laying the groundwork for internal unrest. And the more diversity floods into North America, the more internal unrest and the more cohesion will be broken down. So morale is going to go down, and it's going to go down among the core people who originally created the country. The historical path forward for them is civil war, internal strife, instability, maybe secession. All of those kinds of things are the things that start happening when you start breaking down the original cohesion. A country like Sweden, which was very, very well organized and totally cohesive, and them now pouring vast quantities of non-whites into Sweden, Sweden will ultimately become a place of internal unrest, all kinds of problems. They're going to go through exactly the same process. All this diversity stuff, especially incompatible diversity, because if you look at Europeans and the colonials of Europe, those of us who left Europe and went to other continents, you'll see that taking an Englishman and a Frenchman and a German and sticking them in the same country, yes, it works, but there are still some stresses there. So what you've got are people who are virtually identical. They're almost identical, and yet there will be minor stresses among them. So imagine you take people who are totally different racially. They've got no common background. They are racially, physically, totally different. They have nothing in common. They aren't the same race. They can't speak the same languages. Their background and culture is totally different. You take someone from the Congo, Somalia, you chuck them into the middle of the USA. It couldn't be a worse recipe for disaster and trouble. Now, of course, the people and the motivation for the people doing this, that's another topic. We will need to discuss the traitors, the white elite, who think that they are going to buck the rules of history, and they want to be the elite that will rule the world, that will rule all non-whites. These are a bunch of idiots who need to end their lives swinging on the end of a rope. These are the real traitors. But for the people who actually created the country, who actually are willing to put their lives on the line, for those whites, it's a total disaster. So Americans are heading down a path where they might actually have even less cohesion in their society than even the whites in South Africa, where the whites in South Africa have already at least got a couple of hundred years of history with these other non-whites. That actually in some ways brings us a little bit closer together. But that doesn't mean that we can coexist. South Africa is an empire, and it's a dysfunctional empire. South Africa is actually an empire that, again, like all others, started out as a nation. And at the heart and soul of South Africa are the Boers. Then the next layer on top of the Boers are the British English-speaking whites. So you've got the Boers at the heart. On top of this, the next layer is the British English-speaking whites. Those two groups are racially and culturally the closest. And they formed the heart of this country when the English and the Boers agreed to unite the whites. South Africa, the term South Africa, is a British Boer agreement. And it was a racial agreement for Afrikaans and English whites to control a nation that ruled non-whites. Now that whole thing's been turned completely on its head and the blacks are at the top. That was the Jewish contribution to South Africa. The Jewish communist liberal contribution was take society, turn the whole thing on its head, kick the whites to the bottom. This empire, the previous empire, the one where whites dominated the non-whites, that was a much more realistic thing and would have lasted longer. But that's already been broken now. This new thing won't last even a fraction of the time of the previous one. So the big thing to look at is race, cohesion, similarity. You could make the argument that the closer the DNA is of the people who merge together in a political system, that the closer their DNA is to each other, the closer their culture, their DNA, and their language is to each other, the longer they can function together and the better they will get along. So if you take whites of European descent and you throw them into a country, it has been shown time and again that this thing actually works. North America is proof of it. Big chunks of South America are proof of it. Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Canada, it's all proof that yes, this thing does work. And it lasts and it works. And it's successful. But when you've got people closer together, like the Germans, the French, the British, the Italians, all the others, the Nordics, Eastern Europeans, they have got even closer bonding than the rest of us. But we can see that racial types of arrangements work. They're not as good per person as the really closer bonding, but it definitely works, and it works well. But if you look at DNA differences between other peoples, you'll see that the greater the DNA differences, the less cohesion, the more problems, and the sooner the thing collapses. The British are a perfect example of the worst way to do an empire. It's huge, but at the end of the day, the British faced the problem of their entire empire rebelling against them. And when push came to shove, the British found that they couldn't rely on one part of the empire to help them defend the other part of the empire. All the parts of the empire turned against them except for Rhodesia. Rhodesia were the only whites in the British Empire that did not rebel against Britain. But Britain chose the financial and trade relations with the rest of their empire, and they were willing to forego their own kith and kin because of the trading benefits for the Jews and the Rothschilds. But in terms of defending the empire, the British found themselves in a situation where only the white British were willing to fight for their empire. The white British and the Rhodesians. The white British and the Rhodesians were the only ones who went around together and fought various other conflicts in the British Empire. And the British found themselves with all their non-whites turning on them. And so they were going to lose the whole empire. The British Empire did not last anywhere as long as the Roman Empire. I see that there are different definitions these days of how long various empires lasted. If you take the official definitions used nowadays, then the British Empire, you could say, lasted from 1707 to 1960, because the process of giving away everything started in 1960. So that period of time is like 250 years. Whereas the official modern definition of the Roman Empire, they say, is 500 years, but that's not quite correct, because it ignores and doesn't even define the Roman Empire, doesn't even define it as an empire at the time that Julius Caesar was already busy. So the truth is that the Roman Empire, from the time the Romans started, from the time the Romans as a nation started until Rome totally collapsed, that time period was 1,200 years. And there are many other issues with the differences between the Roman Empire and the British Empire. You cannot compare the two on many levels. The Roman Empire was a much stronger, more advanced thing. The British Empire was mostly a case of taking over a bunch of people in huts in other continents who didn't have the ability to even fight you. So the British Empire, in many ways, is very different to the Roman Empire. It is a first world nation that takes control of lots and lots and lots of little third world groups, and it dominates them for a period of time. It's nothing like the Roman Empire, which is a white empire. It's Europeans, and its enemies are also mainly Europeans. It's a whole different thing. Its standards, its cohesion, the sizes of the wars that it fought, its ability to survive real problems, it's a whole different thing. You just cannot compare the two. Hitler was definitely onto a racial empire. In fact, he was heading towards a Germanic empire, but with a wider vision for Europe. The real lessons of history show that the closer people are in terms of race and DNA, the better the cohesion of that civilization. Ben Clarkson of the Church of Creativity, he's a big advocate of this. I'm a total advocate of this, and this thing will work. In the same way that lots of different whites were thrown together in America and Canada, and those whites gathered together, and those whites created lovely functioning societies. All you need to do now is throw whites together across continents, link them together in territories through political means, and create a racial empire, a global racial empire. That will definitely work. It'll have value. It'll be like a new Roman Empire. Diversity is not going to work. And the danger of diversity is also miscegenation, breeding downwards. These are all other problems to discuss. So if there's anything that I'm in favor of, it's racial politics, racial groupings, racial bonding. That works. It works even in Europe, where they've got so many imaginary divisions, where they are divided over the slightest little thing. In fact, it's the greatest level of insanity that Europe needs diversity. That's just crazy. It's just totally insane. It's completely against all European evolution. It's just nuts. It's nuts. Hitler was going in the right direction. Napoleon was going in the right direction. Even though Napoleon didn't have the plans of Hitler, Napoleon was moving in the right direction. Napoleon was also a believer in Rome, a believer in the Greeks and the Romans. Hitler was as well, although Hitler brought in the Germanics. But that kind of European thinking, that works. European stuff works, and it works well, even on other continents. That you transplant Europeans on another continent, and they do amazing stuff. North America is the best example. Australia is making great progress. And even if you look at specific countries in South America that are more white, you'll see what's going on there. There's good stuff going on there. So it's not just about territory, but it's the people you put in the territory that matters. We will return to topics like the importance of the people. What is more important, the land or the people? And I'll tell you, the people are more important than the land. So when you look at empires, and you look at Jews and trading and all kinds of non-whites popping in there and mixing in Asians, whites and Asians are closer than whites and blacks. Yet these Jews are throwing blacks in everywhere where they can, etc. Absolute disaster. Absolute disaster and problem that they're creating. But keep in mind, empires don't last. Everything the Jews are doing is going to break cohesion. They may be making it bigger, but it's going to break. And where it's going to have its worst effect is that the very people who have the greatest cohesion and who are the heart and soul of those countries, they are the ones who are going to lose their morale. They are the ones that are going to rebel against it the most. And you're going to have civil war, you're going to have secession, you've got all kinds of big problems coming. Liberalism after World War II is going to create centuries of problems. Lots of things are coming from this. So keep in mind, for white survival, nations, cohesion, similarity of DNA, etc. And when you have that, and you can link those people together, and you can even grab groups of those people and just chuck them together, you'll immediately start having success. It'll work. So think in terms of race and nation, but think in terms of racial empire. A racial empire of Europeans, like Hitler's Germania or the Roman Empire, that stuff would work right now. Right now, it would work without a problem. The Roman Empire would work right now. It would work. No question about it. We'll discuss the Founding Fathers of America another day. But the Founding Fathers of America studied. They knew Latin. Many of them could read Latin. A few of them could even read ancient Greek. The Founding Fathers of America read Roman and Greek history, not translated. They read the original Roman history in its original language, and they used that as the basis for America. That Roman Empire is the basis for America. The way it's implemented now does not in any way, shape, or form match the actual reality of the original. This is a Jewish, British piece of garbage that's being created currently. That's just garbage. It's not going to work. It's not in any way what the Founding Fathers of America had in mind. Not in any way, shape, or form. America is meant to be a new Roman Empire, but the reality is it's actually being turned into a Carthaginian Empire. When we discuss the Romans, you will begin to see the difference between the Romans and the Carthaginians. The Carthaginians were the superpower, were one of the current superpowers at the time. It was also white dominated. The Carthaginian Empire was the greatest enemy that the Romans faced, and the Romans crushed them. They tore them to pieces. The Romans actually beat every empire they came across. Modern America is not in any way like Rome. Modern America is closer to Carthage in its structure and in its viewpoint. It in no way, shape or form matches the Roman Empire. So these people who imagine that they're doing the Roman Empire correctly, they're a bunch of clowns, idiots, fools, and of course Jews. They're a bunch of garbage. They don't know what they're doing. It won't work. Hitler was the closest. Hitler's empire is a true improved version of the Roman Empire. That thing would not have lasted 1,000 years. It would have lasted much longer. That empire could have lasted 10,000 years, maybe until the end of time. Hitler was the closest to the real thing, and that is the way whites should think. You need to keep in mind the cohesion and all these other things. There are all kinds of problems that come up when you throw people together. You cannot resolve these things. There are many, 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 many problems that come up. Just remember, at the heart of every nation, at the heart of every empire, at the heart of it, the foundation is who will pick up weapons to defend that nation or that empire. If nobody is going to fight for it, and if nobody is willing to fight and die for it, then it'll just collapse. Then anybody can invade it and the whole freaking thing will fall apart. It can be invaded and the people will welcome their invaders. So keep in mind that it is people living on a piece of territory who determine what a nation is and whether that nation will exist. That means that for the Boers, the Germans, the whites, that at any point in time we can toss aside any government that rules us if we can gather together enough people to fight. The moment you can gather enough people together to fight for something, you can toss aside whatever it is or whoever it is that rules you. You can crush them and you can replace them with something else. So there is no such thing that you can live in an empire and they're just going to rule you forever. No ways. It all depends on who's going to fight for this thing. And every single nation and every single empire is born through violence. Violence determines what is born and what dies. So just because people have got, oh, this is an empire, we rule this territory, all these things exist, doesn't mean that it's a strong thing. You can have a huge piece of territory and it lacks total cohesion, and the slightest invasion and the thing will start falling apart. In the case of the British, their entire non-white base just rebelled against them and just tossed them out. The whole lot. Asians, Africans. The British tried diversity on the grandest scale and their entire empire rebelled against them, and the British were literally running around in a couple of years and they had to get rid of everything. Because if they didn't give it away peacefully, it would have been taken from them violently. So the British were running around knowing that they can't win, so they were smiling sweetly and saying, okay, here's your peace, it's wonderful, this is your country, good luck, let's stay buddies, let's keep those deals flowing, etc. The British Empire just collapsed in a whole total heap. It was unlike the Roman Empire that fought to the end. The British Empire just fell apart in a total heap. And it was the non-whites that turned against them. So if you want to see the worst example of how to do an empire, the British are the worst example. They had a huge empire and the whole thing just collapsed in a heap. You go and look at any other empire that declined in history, whether it's the Ottomans, the Romans, the Persians, the Egyptians or Chinese or anybody else. You go and look at any other empire and you'll see that it took hundreds of years of decline. In the case of the Egyptians, it took thousands of years of decline before it collapsed. Whereas if you look at the British Empire existed in all its might and glory in 1939, and the British Empire looked massive and powerful and global in 1939. Fast forward 21 years and the British are running around giving it all away because the whole thing is falling apart. It had already started breaking into violence in the 1950s already. And the violence and the military outlook was so bad for the British, the British just ran around giving it away. Nobody in history has ever given away their empire. They've always fought for it. They've always struggled and fought on for hundreds of years before it collapsed. Empires have been in periods of decline for longer than the entire British Empire existed. So the British Empire is in no way, shape, and form an idea of how you do an empire. That ain't going to work. They're the worst example of the lot. So what does this mean for Germans, for Boers, for Southerners in America, for Rhodesians, for anybody else, for whites anywhere else? The point is that this modern liberal diversity crap is not going to last. It's not going to last long. This stuff can just be tossed out and it can be replaced. And all these nations, the Boers, the Germans, everybody else, is going to be around. And they're going to be around in a new world. And in that world, the world has been so broken up that there are lots and lots of weak, useless third world junk nations around. And it can easily be that when all is said and done, in a few decades' time, that the Germans will find themselves actually quite a potent power in a very divided, very stupid world. That the Germans, the French, the Europeans, Even the British in Britain, will look on the rest of the world and they'll actually be very powerful. Don't be fooled by the Chinese and don't be fooled by the Indians. Don't be fooled by either of them. Don't be fooled by the Asians. The only Asians that matter truly are the Japanese. And of the Asians, the Japanese might even have a little bit of European-type DNA in them. The Japanese are the best of the Asians. They're the only ones who can pack a punch. Please forget China, forget India, don't even worry about them. They're not much to worry about. The rest of the world is still there for the taking. The Boers have definitely not seen the end of their times at all. The Boers, if they can just maintain their cohesion, rebuild their faith, they'll be fine. There's more coming. History never stops rolling. And we're entering a time where there's going to be new opportunities. Definitely, I can see the opportunities. And even things like the junk empire known as South Africa, this piece of garbage can easily just collapse in a heap. And we can live beyond it. We will outlive this. The Boers will outlive this crap known as modern South Africa. Modern South Africa was a Boer-British creation. It's a total piece of garbage now. This thing will collapse. And whites are going to bust out of this thing. Germans have a great future. Europeans are going to be awesome. Americans are in trouble, but the white Americans can break out. So don't be fooled by empires versus nations. Nations always outlast empires. All that matters are the people on the ground willing to fight. That's the real issue. Doesn't matter how many people there are, it's those who are going to fight. And when I discuss the Romans more, you'll understand a whole bunch more. You'll understand why we are totally not finished at all. What we need to do is get rid of all the traitors and the garbage at the top and unite as a race. We'll be totally fine. In no time at all. In no time at all. I also just want to confirm something again. There's something I must impress upon you. As I've read history and I've had a lot of time to think about things, etc., I want to impress upon you that the nation, or a state, state is the highest form of organization. It is the highest form of human organization that you can get. Forget about business. Business cannot do what a state can do. A state is the most important thing. And even the entire world today is made up of lots of states. In fact, there have never been as many official states as there are today. There's something like 200 of them now. But the state and the nation state, which is a more racial, pure grouping, the nation state is a concept that was born in Europe from a lot of fighting, a lot of struggling, a lot of interaction. The state as it stands today is something of a Jewish capitalist banking whore type of organization. The reality of what it used to be is that it was like the ancient Greeks, ancient Egyptians, the Romans. It was a different thing. It was like the states that the Aryans created. It was a different thing. It was a thing that was built around whites who could defend themselves. It is an organization for defense and self-rule. And as an organization, it is the one thing in the world that has the greatest power. The state is the only organization in the world that has the legal ability to kill. It is the only form of organization that is allowed to kill. It can kill people inside the state, and it can kill people outside the state. And everybody understands that, and everybody reserves the right for that. A state is the only thing that can do that. A state is the only thing that can make a law and force a law on everybody inside the state. A state is the only thing that can come and either arrest you, jail you, punish you, or even kill you if you violate the law. A state is the highest form of organization and power that any human society can have. All these liberal weaklings, libertarian garbage, all kinds of human trash, weaklings, fools, and Judaized idiots think that you can function without a state. That is the biggest load of nonsense that exists. A state is the most important form of organization. And you need to have a state that you have total control of, that your people have total control of. America itself was built around a coalition of states. The original states were actual real states. They had the ability to have an army, to have a government, to have a military, to defend themselves, to make laws. In fact, the states in America still have the ability, they still retain some of that ability where they make state-level laws because they used to be independent countries. America is an empire of originally white racial states. That has been perverted now. But that was the concept. And all that you need for white survival is a global coalition of white racial states, and you're home free. And you would basically have a Roman Empire on steroids, a Hitler Empire on steroids. Let me end by showing you this map. This map was drawn up over 100 years ago. And most of this map remains true to this day. But on this map, all the red, all the pure red, shows you whites. And if you look at the southeast of America, it's mixed there with brown. But I assure you that for most purposes, that is still quite valid. In order to look at that more closely, you need to look at ratios, etc. And if you look at the bottom of South Africa, you'll also see a sort of a mixed brown. But look at the red and the red-brown, and what you are looking at there is a very basic idea of what is possible out of a racial Roman Empire of modern times, or a racial National Socialist Empire of modern times. If whites stuck together, that is the potential. And since that time, lots of whites actually moved to South America. The white domination of South America is actually quite amazing. So imagine you had some kind of political military union between those areas where there are whites, which would include whites in South Africa with some chunk of South Africa. Imagine you had something like that. Then when you understand the Roman Empire, then you'll understand why this is very feasible. And this would be the kind of thing that Hitler was heading towards as well. And even Napoleon made the comment that the European people are family, which is 100% accurate and correct. European people are one family, and if they stuck together instead of dealing with Jews and others, there would be a whole different dynamic at work. Chuck in the Roman Empire, which I will discuss with you in greater detail, and you would see why this thing would totally and utterly work. Even in this crazy day and age with diversity coming in, don't even break out in a sweat. This thing that you see here, this thing is possible. This thing, or some subset of this thing, is very possible. Very possible.
And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites!